It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, everyone out there in Radio Land. I am George Williams, your host, and this is The George Williams Show. All right, folks, we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to have a special guest tonight, and we're going to be talking about what is happening in Alabama, what is happening in Washington, and what is happening in the world. So it affects us all, folks. Our number here is 251-343-0106. And if you're ever outside our area or you're not at home, you can get us on your car radio. It's FM Talk, T-A-L-K, 1065.com. That's FM Talk, 1065.com. All right, folks, what are we going to talk about? There's a lot. There's a lot that's happening. One thing I want to talk about is the conversation about the Epstein situation. Folks, in my opinion, it's nothing but crap, okay? Over the last 4 years, well, 5 years, but 4 years while Biden was in office, did you hear the Democrats say anything about that? Not one darn thing, folks, did they talk about. And they were in charge of the House, the Senate, and the Congress. So why are they talking about it now? Why? They had the Attorney General. They had the head of the CIA. They had the head of the FBI. Why haven't they brought it forward before this? Folks, because it's nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. It is nothing, folks. Okay? If they had something against President Trump, don't you think they would have brought it to light? Now think about it for a second. Okay? My answer is yes, they would have brought it to light. Okay? In my opinion, they have nothing. They're just trying to take away the big loss that the Democrats suffered by getting the government back on track. That's all they're doing, folks. That's all they're doing. They have nothing. Schumer, Jeffries, they thought they had the government shut down. They thought they had it shut down. But then some of their folks in the Senate, they said, look, they were getting pressure from back home, from the voters back home. So what did they decide to do? Side with the Republicans and open the government. After that, now that was a big loss to the Democrats, folks. It was huge. It was huge. After that, they needed something. Something. So we all know what their number one target is. Donald Trump. Get Donald Trump. It didn't happen, folks. So what did they do? They started back with Trump and the Epstein situation. And guess what? It's not going to be anything against Trump. It may be against Bill Clinton. I mean, he was a frequent visitor there. And there are all kind of pictures of Clinton there. And he admitted he was there. Okay? And as you know, Donald Trump didn't get along with Epstein. They were mortal enemies. They did before. Because from what I heard, they were both bidding for Mar-a-Lago, and Trump won. Trump bought it. After that, I think Epstein kind of got teed, and his relationship with Trump became cold. So like Trump said, bring it on. Release it. And guess what? Now, this is weird, folks. They had the voting today on whether they should release the files. Guess what? Almost 100% of the Democrats voted for it. And the Republican. I think 5 did not vote. When has the Senate and Republicans and Democrats voted on the same thing? When is the last time they did that? Think about that. Think about that. After voting, 14 or 15 times, the Democrat, to keep the government closed, shut down. It's totally unbelievable that this is happening in America. So, like Trump said, bring it on. I urge the Republicans, the Congress folks, and the Democrats to vote yes. Open up the file. And now that he has done that, they don't know what to do. Even Ms. Green, she had gotten on Trump for the simple reason because he had not agreed to open up the file. And now she's eating her own malarkey, okay? Oh, I don't have nothing against Trump. I don't have nothing against Trump. Especially after Trump said, okay, open it up. Now she had gotten on him publicly. This is public because he had not agreed to open the files, to release the files, okay? Now that he has, she doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know what to do. Sounds like a Democrat to me. Sounds like a Democrat. And I love Trump because he's got guts. He has guts. So he challenged her. Go ahead. She didn't know what she was getting herself into. Yeah. So this is the situation. And I am so glad that it happened like this. Okay? I am so glad. And that's the same way I feel about New York City. Let Mandami be the mayor. He's changing a little bit. And Trump said, hey, you know, Trump is from New York. He said, I'll go and talk to him. The other things he didn't say and put some stomping on his head. So, you know, some realistic intelligence in his head. And Trump will do that. Okay? I don't think he wants to meet with Trump. I don't think so. Because look at what happened to Eric Reynolds when he was letting all the illegals in and spending all that money for them. Look what happened. And he came around. He came around. Now, the governor didn't. She is an idiot. She didn't. Just like the governor Pritzker from Illinois and the mayor of Chicago. They're not going to be around long, folks. They're not. They've been taking advantage of black folks. The Democrat Party has been taking advantage of black folks ever since 1964 when they thought that it was the Democrats that sponsored and passed the Civil Rights Bill. And I made a statement that it wasn't the Democrats, it was a Republican. And President Johnson was smart, folks. He was very smart. He knew that if he did one little thing like that, that the blacks would come over to the Democratic Party. And they did. You know, Johnson was, he was something else. He was something else. And so that's how they got the black coming over to the Democratic Party. The Democrat Party are responsible for the Civil War. They're responsible for keeping black people under their control by giving them funding, welfare, and all that stuff. Okay? Call, I think that's our guest caller. Just wait a few more minutes and we'll put you on after the break. We'll be right back, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks, to the George Williams Show. Our number here is 251-343-0106. All right, we have our guest with us, and he is Dr. Lou Capomanoso, and he is no stranger to you, our audience out there. Dr. Lou, how you doing?
Hey, George, I'm doing great, and I'm certainly glad to hear from you and have an opportunity to talk on your show. Really appreciate it.
Great. Yeah, folks, you know Dr. Lou. Every time I'm absent, he sits in for me, and he does an outstanding job. What I wanted to do is pick his brains, because Dr. Lou is a retired United States Marine major. He's got his PhD, and he's also a college professor. So he knows what's going on, folks. So, Doc, tell me, what do you think about this situation? We'll go into each one of them, and maybe you have some that you're thinking about that you want to talk about.
Well, I think the overall situation that we've just been through with the shutdown and the election that was, you know, during the shutdown, you know, all tell a real tale of just how dysfunctional the Democrat Party has become, okay? And although New Jersey and Virginia did not go red, these were deep blue states, and I think there was just an over expectation that New Jersey would be better. And you're a New Jersey guy. You've lived there, went to high school there. So you know New Jersey politics. And I think the fact that Trump did so well in New Jersey, I think he got 40% there, mm-hmm. that was an indication that something's going on in New Jersey. And when you look at what happens with people paying extremely high electric bills, with all the kind of stuff that goes on with all, it just seemed that New Jersey was ripe for the taking, and you know it didn't happen that way. So there's the Democrats get all fired up about that, but the fact of the matter is they're deep blue states, and who knows what kind of shenanigans went on. But it's one of these things where Trump can't lose focus on doing what
right.
he's doing.
Right.
And today you had the prince from Saudi Arabia and telling Trump, we're not giving you $600 billion to invest, we're going for $1 trillion.
Right. But Doc, I got to stop you right there. When you're talking about the blue states, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, etc., you know what happened, don't you? Why the governor didn't get elected, the Republican governor?
Well, part of it is that somehow this one, the attorney general in Virginia, the candidate, talks about this whole question of how he's ready to shoot his one of his colleagues in the legislature and their children too, and the Democrats did not disavow that. I mean.
Right, that's one of them, Doc, but the most important thing is you don't need ID to vote. That's why. That is 99% of it, Doc. The former Democratic chairman of the New Jersey Democratic Party was one of my high school teammates, and we ran track and we played football, and he was adamantly opposed to ID. have an ID to vote, okay? And I can tell you, a city like Irvington, a city like Patterson, you have all these foreigners coming there, and they're voting. They're allowed to vote. Without having ID, that's why required ID to vote. That's why these blue states are winning, and we won't get Republicans in them, Doc.
I think that's a key thing that the Republicans in the House want to pass this ID that Trump wants to have, and I think that there's no earthly reason other than you can cheat without an ID.
Right.
So, you know, that is obviously a factor, and I completely agree with that. But there still was an expectation in New Jersey that the Republican candidate who had run last time and was very close there. And I think we all kind of hoped for the best on that, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I don't think that gloom and doom, you know, should be the tale for today. I think that what Trump is doing, and he's selling it very well. But I think that the question of affordability that came up in those two elections, what the outrage is that. The Democrats are the ones that gave us all of this unaffordability, you know, with the inflation.
Correct.
With cutting back on production of gases and trying to go green and doing all that stuff.
Correct.
The poor people in New Jersey, you know, should take a lesson from what Pennsylvania has done. They have tremendous amounts of natural gas, and they're doing it. But New York and New Jersey, you know, have bought into all of this green business, and it's costing the people. And I think the sad thing is that when you really look at the amount of emissions that the United States is producing, it's so far less than ever before. We have made tremendous strides in all that, and yet you've got these green people. Now, it's interesting that Bill Gates has finally come around to the idea that, you know, that you know, we're not going to, you know, ruin the environment tomorrow. I mean, the gloom and doom there is something that he has finally realized that there's something to the fact that you can help people around the world much better by doing things like producing cheap energy, by producing infrastructure that people can work in, that you produce schools that they can go to learn things, rather than spending all of this money on stuff that doesn't really work. I mean, all of this business of, you know, green energy that seems to be wonderful, which I'm not opposed to it, but it cannot be a substitute for fossil fuel energy. And if you need any further, you know, examination of that, look at what happened to Texas a few years ago. Surprisingly, Texas was relying on green sources of energy, and all of a sudden, in a bitter winter storm, it failed. It froze.
Right, right.
And, you know, so you have these kinds of issues which, you know, the far left liberals have bought into all this climate change business. So it's healthy to see that Gates is going in a different direction. It's healthy to see someone like Fetterman in Pennsylvania taking a lead on making Pennsylvania, you know, an energy source, not a problem. So I do think that when you look at the election results, And the fact that the Republican candidates did not do as well as they should have, there's more to that story. And I think that in the end, you know, and again, the end for us right now is 2026. We have got to control the Congress.
Right.
And if we lose control of it, then Trump's going to be impeached. We're going to go through all of that stuff all over again.
That's true.
You know, and so I think the Republican Party nationally has got to be able to get the message out that here's what we're doing. And you know, it's one of these things where I remember Obama and all of his surrogates going on and say, Obama economics, what do they call it? Biden economics is working. And no one bought that because everyone could see how false that was. So I think Trump has to be very careful about not telling everybody, hey, everything's great. Yes, eggs are down, gas is down. All of those kinds of things are true. But when beef is still high, when you have other things that are costly at the grocery store, it's best not to trumpet the fact that, you know, everything's great. He's got to have a balanced approach to this, and he's doing the kinds of things that can bring prices down. So,
right, but Doc, don't you think that if we, and I agree with you, you know, to a certain extent, but don't you think the whole thing is at the ballot box? And as long as you have illegals and non-U.S. citizens voting, they can keep this up for dozens of years. Oh, yeah. Why don't somebody take this, make a case, a steady case out of it, and have it go to the Supreme Court and said only U.S. citizens can vote and you must have ID to vote? Okay? Then we can do that.
Listen, if Congress, the House, and the Senate pass the ID law, which is probably going to pass the House, but the Senate will not be able to pass it. But the point is that somewhere along the line, you know, and Trump saw this in the 2020 election. That's what all that was about, election fraud and all like that. Somewhere along the line, you're right. It's got to go to the Supreme Court for a final decision.
That's right.
You know what? It's just like sanctuary cities. How in the world can these sanctuary cities be allowed to do? And they had talked about this, but I have not seen anything being sent to the Supreme Court about getting past this sanctuary city business.
Right, right.
Clearly, out of the Constitutional has everything in the power to the federal government to do this. And so the sanctuary states and cities that have sprung up, you know, that's nothing different than, you know, 1861 with a secession type thing in the South.
Right, right. That, we're going into a commercial break. Folks, we'll be right back after these messages with Dr. Lou Campomenosa. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. And we're here with our guest, Dr. Lou Campomenosa. And we're talking about what is happening in America. And it's not good. Not good. Especially what is being done by the Democratic Party. It is totally unbelievable. Doc, again, thank you for coming on. Go ahead. You can continue now, please.
You know that. I think, you know, as you've mentioned, this whole business with the question about, you know, voter fraud going on because people are allowing illegals to vote in places like New Jersey. But we've seen this in 2020. You had the ballots mailed out to people who didn't live in Georgia or Arizona, okay?
Right.
They sent them out to people who are dead, and they come back. And so, once again, you find that election fraud is real. And we can clean it up. But, you know, I mean, Trump was right when he said in 2024, we can't count on people running clean elections. We have to win overwhelmingly, which he did. And we're gladly glad that happened like that, but we can't go to bed thinking that everything is okay just because he won. It's not. And I think that, you know, the more we can clean up the voter rolls and make that an issue, then the better off we are. And I think that, you know, starting with the Congress passing the voter ID, and even though it will be a hard sell in the Senate, those eight Democrat senators who voted to shut down, I mean, to open the country back up, voting with the Republicans, that may be a group of people who are smart enough, understanding enough, and have that moral backbone to do the right thing.
Well, it's going to take more than that, and I think the only way we're going to get that done is through the Supreme Court. Okay.
Well, I mean,
they're going to really fight us.
It's you, and I do think that's correct. That SCOTUS has to do it, but there's a question about whether or not they'll take this issue, because where's the standing? This whole question of standing, having the proof that you've been harmed by something. And I think that, you know, we're just going to have to see how this plays out. But Trump clearly has the standing on what happened in 2020. So somewhere along the line, something like that can be brought to the Supreme Court. So we'll just have to see what happens with it. But sanctuary cities is another thing. You know, like we were saying just a few minutes ago, how is it that the sanctuary cities are allowed to do what they're doing? And that just takes us right to this whole business of what's going on with rounding up these 13, 14, 15 million people that Biden let in. I mean, George, this was a crime. It's treason what he did.
It is.
Because
letting
all of these people in, there's no accountability. This is just going to be the balkanization of America, where you've got little separate groups here, separate groups there. No one is pulling together, you know, in a unified way. E pluribus unum. That has to be a reality, but you're not going to get it a reality unless you have an immigration system that weeds out people you don't want, people who can't support themselves, and then put them through that immigration process where they learn about being an American. And I think that, you know, the old adage was, the melting pot is what we need. Well, the metaphor changed about 30 years ago, and the liberals started talking about the salad bowl is what we have to work. We're more interested in the salad bowl, so that this tomato and this group is here and the lettuce is over there and the celery's here or whatever. That metaphor is a disaster, and we're asking if we're making it a reality by what Biden did. And unless we're able to move them out like Eisenhower did, you know, he got rid of about 600,000, if I'm not mistaken. But the point is, Trump is on the right path. You've got 1.6 million who are already gone through the judicial process. And remember, every time these people come in and they're given temporary amnesty, they go through the process and they are yes or no. But here's the problem, George, and it's been a problem forever. You get your judge date, you have to go see the judge. Well, what happens? You're sitting out there in Los Angeles, and nobody shows up. So there's like a 95% rate where these people are never around. So the problem is extremely deep. And so Trump is basically on the warpath right now. He wants to get the worst of the worst, and I think they're doing that. They've rounded up, I think, close to 500,000. And then you've got another million that have already self-deported. And so what Trump wants to do is get 3,000 a day. Now, you've been involved in government and the DEA and all like that, so you know that these guys have a real task ahead of them to do that. And I think that...
And you know why, Doc? You know why? Yeah. Because of the courts, the district courts.
Of course.
Yeah,
I was watching
Fox News, and guess what? They were in North Carolina to round up some of them, and now you got all these folks out there protesting. ICE.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you've got to get the courts to do it, the Supreme Court.
But you see, this is what Biden and Schumer did. They put in at least 200, you know, judges at the local level, okay, district judges, that gives them a lot of power, and they all are part and parcel of this essentially communist conspiracy.
Right.
They don't want to have the United States as it is and should be. And so we're fighting that. But at the same time we're fighting it, look at how well the Department of Homeland Security is doing in rounding up these people. I mean, today it was 300 people in Charlotte. They've been there one day, you know? So it's possible to do this. And what you're also seeing is crime rates going down in Chicago, in Washington, okay? We'll see where else it goes. But the fact of the matter is, I've heard on our local news in Louisiana that they're already starting to come into New Orleans. They're going to be bringing them in fairly soon. So, again, the courts are stopping.
Yeah.
Something that has to be done.
Yeah.
The worst of the worst is there. I get that. But at the same time, they have got to be able to figure out how the rest of these people are going to be gathered up. Because this the metaphor of a salad bowl, if that's going to be the way we're going to do this, you're not going to have a unified country, because these people who are there, all they are thinking about is their home country. They're going to establish their little flags there, and they're never going to be real Americans.
Right, but Doc, look at what's happening in Charlotte. If you turn on your TV, you will see it. They went in, arrested all those people, and now they've got thousands of American citizens out there marching against what ICE did. So what you're going to have to do is to take it to the Supreme Court so that these district judges and appellate judges, what they say won't matter anymore. You know what I mean? You've got to do that.
In one sense, where the judges try to put a nationwide jurisdiction on certain things, okay? And the Supreme Court shot that down. But what happens is that you've got these particular issues, you know, regarding the immigration business, and that's where the locals are being able to throw that monkey wrench in the system. And I think you're right, that the Supreme Court has got to figure out a way to reinforce the fact that the federal government has jurisdiction in this. But I also think it starts with sanctuary city status. They can't have that. That has to be the starting point, where when we're dealing with trying to round these people up, we can't have the local cities hiding them and not letting, you know, the criminal elements that are captured in the cities not be given to the ICE people. I mean, that is outrageous.
But if it was the law, the Supreme Court come down with the law, they couldn't do it. And we would be, as a law enforcement man, we would be a lot better off.
No, I completely agree with that. There's no question about it. But that, I do think that somewhere along the line, I think that Congress, and here again, we've got to have those eight Democrats who are willing to make it a 60, you know, vote, to pass the kind of legislation that reins in these justices or these, you know, judges. I think that the Supreme Court has a role to play in this, but so does Congress. I mean, they control how many, you know, district judges there are. That's part of the congressional, you know, mandate.
So I understand that, but Congress, we don't have the support in Congress. We need to get the Supreme Court out there and make sure it's a law, you know?
Well, let's see how this works, but I think, like, you know, this immigration question is not going to go away, and I think that, you know, that Biden and them so polluted the system with all of the millions that they let in, criminals as well as normal people. It is a task that's almost overwhelming, and I know that the ICE people and other members of the Border Patrol are you know, recruiting like mad to get more people. They've evidently got the money that they needed, but it's going to take a massive, you know, effort to get these people at 3,000 a day, and I think they've run it. It's going to take like 5 years anyway, at that rate. But the instability that this is, you know, bringing on, and the instability that the Democrats want, this is a problem. And I think that right now we've just seen a few people who have been injured as a result of the protests, okay? And, you know, the violence that is just waiting to happen, where some of these people who are crazy anyway, they've been inflamed by all of the rhetoric that higher-level officials in the Democratic Party have been doing. And it's treasonous in itself.
Right, right. And I agree with you. We're going to go into our next commercial break, Doc, and then we'll have you finish up with this. But and you're right, but I'm telling you, I have no confidence in Congress or the Senate right now on the Democratic side, okay? I have no confidence whatsoever, and I think the way we have to go is the Supreme Court. That's my opinion. All right, we'll be back with Dr. Lou Campomenosa in a few seconds, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking to Dr. Lou Campomenosa regarding the situation that is happening now, especially regarding immigration and some of the other issues. And the Democrats are traitors to America. They want to get rid of the Constitution. And we have so many foreigners in America now, just like in the UK and overseas in Europe. You have so many foreigners that they've let into the country that they are and have taken over. And I'll give you an example, Paterson, New Jersey, or some of the other, Irvington, New Jersey, some of the other cities, they've taken over. And that's dangerous.
No, it is. When you have, you know, Dearborn, Michigan, having this Islamic, you know, approach to things, it runs directly against the Constitution.
That's right. Sharia law. Right. Sharia.
And as such, it seems to me that here again, this is something that may sound like, you know, you're bigoted against a religion, but the reality is that this religion cannot work within the culture that we have here.
Right.
There are too many conflicts with the Constitution.
Right.
And as long as that's the case, then we have got to stop importing Islam into these places. It's just that simple. And I would argue that what you're seeing in Britain is exactly what's going to happen here unless we're careful, because the demographics are against us. The Muslims reproduce at an extremely high rate.
True.
And, You know, so we've got to take this into account. But before I go, I did want to just mention that part and parcel with the immigration business is, you know, when the border was wide open, what was happening was not only people coming across, but all the drugs that were coming off. And we know that this fentanyl issue has been around for a while.
True.
But Trump is going after this, and he's going after it in a different way. He's not just going to stop it at the border. He's going to go to the source, and that's what has to be done. I know that he's talked to China about making sure that the precursors to fentanyl do not come in. I think that that has to be one of the big things that he and the Chinese have got to agree on. If they can't agree on it, tariff them, do what you have to do. Don't let them just send the precursor to fentanyl into Mexico or wherever else. So
Canada.
And Canada.
Right.
Right. So here you have a situation, though, where now we've killed about 80 people who are operating on these fast boats that run drugs from Venezuela or any place else into the United States. There was a Mexican professor on Will Cain's show today. He was talking to Will about the fact that many Mexicans would appreciate it if Trump was able to do what he's done with these Venezuelan boats and take out the narco people and the meth places where they're making it, do that kind of stuff, and surgical strike, knock them out. And, you know, Sheinbaum, the Mexican president, can't say it, but down, deep down, from what I gather, she is deathly afraid of the cartels. They are a threat to the Mexican government. So anything that Trump can do to diminish the cartel power is a plus for the Mexican government. I think that what you're going to see fairly soon is some of those missile attacks coming from the drones right to where Trump said today they know where all of this stuff is. And I really think that they're going to take it out, and I think it'll be a help to us and to the Mexicans. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it, George.
Yeah, you know, I was in South America for 6 years, okay,
yeah.
and as a DEA agent, and we know where it's coming from. We know where the labs are in Brazil. We had to go out into the Amazon region and do some destruction. I'm not going to talk too much about that because it's still ongoing. But, you know, Doc, talk is easy. The Mexican government, there's so much corruption, and the cartels are so strong. They have an army. They have armies in Mexico. They have armies in Venezuela, you know, and Peru. We have a lot of agents in those places, except Venezuela.
No,
but,
you
know, it's just it can't be done politically.
No, I don't think it can done politically, but I do think that, you know, the cartel power, they've got their militias, but they also have to have money. And if we destroy the factories that are making all of this stuff and go after, you know, the leaders of it, then I think that it puts a dent in it, and that will give the Mexicans, it, you know, in their armed forces, and an ability to at least get on an even playing field with these guys. Right now, it's all in the favor of the cartels. Somehow, that has to be diminished so that the Mexican government can actually be a government and not have to kowtow to the cartels.
Yeah, they're powerful, Doc. They're powerful. And really, the only way we can do it is to send troops in there and destroy everything. But we can't do that politically.
No, we're not going to do that.
No.
But I think the hope is get enough damage done to the cartels so that the Mexican army can do what it can do. one place at a time, one state at a time.
Yeah. The only ones we trusted over there was the Mexican Marines, okay? And they were good fighters over there. And that's who we protected. But we need to do something, okay? And I agree. And these cartel boats that are coming over and that we are bombing out of the water, we know what they have in them, Doc. We know before they leave. So, you know, it's the right thing.
I think there's a good chance that the CIA has a way of getting information, you know, to the drones that this boat here has got X number of whatever. So I think it's not just happenstance that we're shooting at these particular boats. That's my understanding of the degree of intelligence that we've been able to gather. And it may not be people on the ground. It just could be numerous, you know, sources of, and technological ways that they're gathering the information. But I think that it's certainly not something that you and I would want to go out on a boat if you know it's going to get
zapped. They know when the bells leave, Doc, okay? And they know what's on them. They know it. I can tell you that. So, but the thing is, we even have Democrats talking about it's illegal under international water and the UN resolution. That's why I said the Democrats are dangerous for our country. Yeah. Everything that Trump is doing, they're fighting him.
Well, I mean, it is Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, I think that is, you know, it may be one of these, you know, nice little terms to throw out, but I think there's a reality to it. I mean, look at what he's done in terms of bringing the crime rate down in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Why would that not be a good thing in Chicago? Why is it not a good thing look at Chicago. Every Monday morning, you read 8, 10, 15 people killed.
Right.
30 people shot.
Right.
Who are these people? These are primarily the minority folks that live there, and Johnson and Priska have no care at all what's going on with those poor people.
Right. This black mayor, Johnson, in New York, Chicago, he's lower than 10% in the favorable rating.
Exactly. you hear some of because if you go on and watch on YouTube, some of the city council meetings,
right,
the people up there are ready to string him up.
Right, that is true. So we know he's a one-term mayor, okay? So who's going to take over?
I don't know. We'll see. That'll be for another show.
Right.
But I think we're running out to 2 minutes, so I know you're going to want to close out.
Right.
I want to thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you in the near future.
All right, okay? Doc. Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you coming on, okay?
Okay, George. Thanks.
All right, folks. Dr. Lou Campomanos. That's about it, folks. We got to get out of here, but we'll be back again. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger to say, I'll be back. Like on Dale's, everyone.